Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, hey, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me. Brian Diaz here, friends. Happy to have you along for the NOLA Drink Show this time around. Very happy to be bringing you this show. Mentioned it last week when we dropped our previous installment. Quick turnaround for us because we wanted to get this show out, of course, this week. Why? Because the show is about French Quarter Festival, and that starts on Thursday, right here, April 11th through the 14th on Sunday. The best music festival on the planet. It's not just music. There's all kinds of great food and drink. There's all kinds of other aspects of entertainment going on. There's a culinary stage. There's all kinds of really cool things you can get yourself involved in, all peppered throughout the French Quarter for the next 4 days, or I should say starting on Thursday for 4 days. It is just my all-time favorite, and I mentioned this before too. I had to miss last year's for some business travel. It's the first one I've missed in a very, very long time, so I'm really happy to be back. If you see me out there, look for me. Come say hi. I will be there, I think, probably all 4 days, out and about, wandering around. And we talk about this a little bit. Let me tell you who I'm interviewing. Emily Madero, who is the president and CEO of French Quarter Festivals Incorporated, as well as Kenneth Spears, who is their food and beverage and hospitality director. And I really appreciate them taking the time to chat with me recently because, you know, the festival being right around the corner, they've got a lot on their plate, but it's always a pleasure to chat with Emily and Kenneth. And a special shout out to our friend Morgan Valerie, who is their marketing director. Morgan couldn't make the interview, but helped me arrange the interview. So I really do appreciate that as well. Looking forward to seeing those three, my friends out there at French Quarter Fest. So that's who I'm interviewing. And we talk all about it. We let you know all about the festival, what you need to know to go. We let you know about, I think there's 22 stages that we talk about. We don't talk about each stage, but we let you know that there are 22 stages and there's going to be great music all across the 4 days and a great food and beverage stuff. Dozens of food vendors out there, great places to get some nice cold drinks. One of the cool parts about it too, that we touch on, one of my favorite aspects of this is that, you know, it's all throughout the French Quarter, as I just said. And one of the things you can do is you can pop into one of your favorite French Quarter establishments. If you want to take a little break, you know, amble up to the bar somewhere, you can certainly do that. Don't want to spoil any more of the interview because we're going to download a lot of stuff for you. I hope to see you out there at French Quarter Festival, friends. We're going to take a little break here on the program, and then we're going to be back chatting with Emily and Kenneth. Come on back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for joining me, friends, here on the program. Happy to have you here. This is actually always one of my very, very favorite shows that we do every year. I explained this at the top of the segment, or the top of the show, excuse me, that I missed one last year. And it was very, very disappointing because I missed the 40th festival. We're going to get into this in a second, of the French Quarter Festival. But we're back. We're back in action. And I'm pleased to be joined by my friends again, Emily Madero and Kenneth Spears. Emily is the president and CEO of the French Quarter Festival, and Kenneth is the food and beverage and hospitality director. And let me start with you, Kenneth, real quick, because I think that was a slight change in title from a couple years ago. Was it not?
Yeah, it's a slight change in title. Yeah, happily managing both programs. We're really excited about what we have in store for 2024. So,
awesome.
Yeah, a little bit of a title update.
Awesome. Congratulations. I wanted to make sure when we clarify this, just in case you got promoted to like intergalactic overlord of food and beverage or something like that. And also, Emily, how are you? President and CEO. No title change for you. You're still steering the ship.
I'm still here. I'm glad to be back. We missed you last year, and we're looking forward to a really beautiful festival in 2024.
I can't wait. I'm so, so excited. It is, as I've told you all before, both audience and the two of you, hands down, flat out, my favorite music festival and culture festival going on the planet. And it's just the greatest thing in the world. And we'll get to this. Let me just throw it right to you, Emily. So I mentioned this at the top of the segment. I was a bit confused because I missed last year. So this is the 41st French Quarter Festival, but it is the 40th anniversary of the organization, correct?
Yes, indeed. It can be a little confusing. We were founded in 1984. We had our first festival in April of 1984. So we celebrated our 40th annual French Quarter Festival last year, but our anniversary last you know, all year long.
I like that. Thank you. And you explained it very clearly to me before we went on the air here that it's like when you're zero, you don't have your first birthday, but you guys had a zero year zero anniversary, festival. So this made sense to me. So thank you for doing that. Certainly the festival has grown since that first year. I will briefly tell this story because I tell it every time we do the show. My wife, who's local, was at the first festival and, you know, featured like Ed McMahon and a breakdancing competition. And I think it was one or two stages in Jackson Square, right? Tell us how we've grown, Emily, because coming here into 2024, it's a little bit bigger than those days.
Yeah, I love that she was there. You know, the festival has really grown in a very organic and natural way over the last 41 festivals. And I think part of that is just New Orleans has such a wealth of musical talent and culinary talent. And certainly, you know, as Southeast Louisiana folks, we love to get together and to celebrate our culture. Festivals are deeply ingrained in our culture. It's the way that we come together. It's how we recognize the seasons. You know, it's how we celebrate all of our favorite food dishes and traditions. And I think French Quarter Festival is very emblematic of that culture. And it also is focused entirely on local talent, local musicians, and local food. And so I think if you create something that is appealing and welcoming to the people of New Orleans, we've got great taste. And if New Orleanians and Louisiana loves it, the rest of the world will follow for sure. So the secret is out. This is a beloved local festival, but certainly we have a lot of visitors that come every year. Last year, we welcomed over 875,000 people into the French Quarter over the course of 4 days. And, you know, the only way that we're able to do that is, you know, first and foremost, it is a massive collaboration between, you know, public services and all of our sponsors and partners and volunteers. But it is also, it's a block party. It's a community party in a neighborhood. We spread out across the French Quarter. So, of course, there are stages and food booths that we host, but we know all of our neighbors are celebrating in the neighborhood as well. You know, the restaurants are packed, the hotels are packed, there's lots going on in the streets, everything from, you know, the usual buskers to all of the music that we bring in across our 22 stages. So, you know, this year you can definitely expect the same traditions and things that you love about French Quarter Festival. I mean, I think one of the things that is so neat is that it really becomes a tradition for folks who come and participate. It's very unusual that somebody comes once and we don't see them again. I think the average number of years, you know, more than half of the people that we host every year at French Quarter Festival have been coming for more than 5 years. So It's something that, you know, we've got folks that have been coming for 40 years, and we've got folks that have been coming for 12 years, whether they're local or not. You know, we want to maintain and celebrate all of those things that you love and remember and you want to come back to year over year. But we also want to continue to evolve and grow. You know, music and culture isn't static. New Orleans creatives are always working on new things and surprising us, and we want to, you know, incorporate and celebrate all of that. So the festival has definitely grown and evolved in a way that I think is, you know, complementary to how the city and how our cultural community has continued to grow. This year, we're adding two stages.
Okay.
So we've got new genres that you can expect. We've got 22 stages that will feature, you know, programming and entertainment. And we also have a live broadcast stage with WWL, who's going to be on the scene throughout the weekend in Spanish Plaza. But we're bringing 4 days of New Orleans DJ talent to the festival with the Posse Gen Solar DJ stage, which is going to be awesome. It's going to be right at the foot of Canal on Aquarium Plaza. And we're also really shining a light on our culinary talent. So that's something that I'll let Kenneth speak to. But for the first time, we've got a culinary stage, which is going to feature interviews and chef demos. And that stage is sponsored by Kingfish Kitchen and Cocktails. And it's been something that our team has been sort of dreaming about for a couple of years. And we're excited to finally bring that to life.
Very cool. And we thank you because you checked like two or three of the boxes I had for some things I wanted to get to. So maybe we'll come back and do a little bit of a deeper dive on a couple of the things that you just mentioned. Kenneth, let me come to you real quick, because then I want to come back and talk a little bit more about the festival and what it is. And let me clarify this just for listeners out there, that if you don't know or you haven't been, and Emily, you basically said this at the top, that the purpose of this festival, I mean, there are many purposes, but the focus, I'll say, of this festival is to showcase Southeast Louisiana regional folks, right? So all the musicians, all the culinary talent, the art, everything else, it's all local. So we're not talking about bringing in folks from the other parts of the country or from other parts of the world. The focus is truly on all the wonderful talent we have here, correct?
Absolutely. You know, of course, we invite everyone to come celebrate, whether you're from, you know, the French Quarter, the Seventh Ward, or Japan.
Absolutely.
You know, the cultural creators, the musicians, and the chefs that we're really focused on highlighting and showcasing are all local talent. And really, that is, you know, speaking of our 40th anniversary, that goes back to our founding mission. You know, the first French Quarter Festival was hosted in early 1984, and it was a response by Dutch Montreal and the city that was, you know, they were recognizing that restaurants and shops in the French Quarter were suffering in terms of business because of all the construction, the road work, and the sidewalk work that had been underway in preparation for the World's Fair. And they wanted to just remind locals to come back to the French Quarter, to visit the neighborhood, to support those businesses. And so that kind of combination of really celebrating our unique cultural heritage and our music, and doing it in a way that drives economic benefit for the city of New Orleans and for the French Quarter neighborhood, and instills an increased sense of pride for the people that live here, is what we're all about. And that's why we continue to put on this enormous free community event. You know, there's not many festivals of this scale that don't have any admissions. It's a barrier-free event, which we're really proud of and committed to.
That's awesome. And we'll get it. I want to touch on the economic impact, because what it means, it, we'll get to this in a little while, but what it means to the culture of the city, what we export in the city of New Orleans is culture in a lot of ways. And we'll get back to that. That is one of my favorite stories, though, Emily, is something that we can still relate to this day is sidewalk, road construction, these things here in New Orleans.
So, that's sure.
Right. So,
and if we popped up a festival everywhere there was road work, we'd have festivals all over town. But
we're
definitely committed to keeping this one going.
Right, exactly. Well, Kenneth, do me a favor, because one of the things that you guys have done a fantastic job of over the years, and I would say especially in recent years, in the past, you know, 12 or 15 or so that I've seen at the festival, is growing the culinary footprint. And I think I'm going to ask you sort of a leading question here to describe some of what you've done. But one of the things I'd like you to elaborate on is here in this part of the world, music, culture, art, all of these things, culinary arts are totally intertwined. And so I think you guys seem to have, you know, really, how shall I say, gravitated towards that and really worked to elevate the food program. And please tell us about it, man. What's going on, you know, what's gone on in recent years and what's going on this year?
Yeah, man. I think I want to start by saying that, you know, food and culture and music is so important to New Orleans and its culture. And I think that it's important for French Quarter Fest to kind of reflect that. And so I know since I started in 2020, that's one of my goals of trying to, like, not saying it wasn't already reflecting that, but I wanted to like hone in on that. And I think we're really excited about this year because since before the pandemic, we're actually back to like our standard par levels in terms of food vendors. So this year we have 69 food vendors, the most we've ever had. Definitely the most we've had since 2019. And it also speaks to just the environment and the economy bouncing back from a culture standpoint in New Orleans. So we're really excited about that. I think some of the food vendors we really are excited about in terms of the debuts. We got like Fatai Nola coming out. Miss River.
Charlie Pierre coming out. That guy's blown up, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Charlie is amazing. Yep. With the Zatarain's commercial and a couple other things he's working on. Miss River, they're also a part of making a debut. They'll be at Spanish Plaza. They got a really good creamy crab roll dish. Folks should be excited about. And we have some other street vendors like Nori Guys. They're doing street Asian tacos. And Chef Shonda is also a local chef that's doing some really amazing food. Lufu Nola is another one that joined. We got a really, really long list of debuts. Yeah,
I got to tell you, Kenneth, there real quick, because I'm going to ask you a question, kind of a higher level question on this. But Lufu, man, I've had their food twice recently, and they're amazing. They are absolutely amazing. I actually judged cocktail competition just about 3-4 weeks ago, and they were doing the food side of this, and their food is tremendous. So I'm really excited to hear they're out there. Excited to hear that Charlie's out there from Free Thai. Tell us how, Kenneth.
And I gotta just toot Kenneth's horn really quickly. You know, yeah. I think French Quarter Festival, you know, has always been about food and music, and certainly was probably one of the only festivals where you could go and sample fine dining from some of, you know, the iconic French Quarter restaurants. But I think what Kenneth has done such a great job at in the last several years is making sure that we're really reflecting the diversity of the New Orleans food scene. So I think, yes, you can still come and you can access fine dining. We're definitely not going to be serving up, you know, corn dogs and fried bread up there, but in terms of incorporating what is special about New Orleans street food and festival fare, you know, we've got everything from, you know, Miss Linda with the Yakamain to so many different ethnically diverse cultural palates, which we haven't always had. And I love, you know, going through the festival is definitely sort of a journey through New Orleans' evolving food scene.
Yeah, Emily, I'm going to throw it right back to you, Kenneth, but thank you for highlighting that, because we know the music here has always reflected that, right? And meaning the music programming at the festival has always reflected that. So Kenneth, what you've done, that's fantastic. And I think it's such an important thing. Because I think one of the things we know is that the festival takes place in the French Quarter, but so much of the music and the culinary stuff takes place outside the French Quarter, right? Be it other neighborhoods in New Orleans, or be it, you know, the region in its entirety. And what you've done with it, Kenneth, I think is fantastic. Say what you're going to say, Kenneth, but do me a favor, tell people kind of also, if you don't mind, after that, how does it work? So like, if you're coming and Emily already mentioned that it's a free festival, so we know we can wander around from stage to stage, but how does the food thing work, man? Where can people go? How do we get to the food? How do we get to the drink?
Yeah. So our team do a really good job of making sure we have, food and music represented at each of the sites. And so technically wherever you find yourself in at the festival, whether it's the riverfront, whether it's Jackson Square, Jack's Lot at the Mint, you'll see a ton of food options as well as a ton of really, really good music. I don't know if I answered your question, but I will also say if it was me coming to the festival, I think I'll start downtown closer to the riverfront and just start at Spanish Plaza and make my way all the way down to the Mint.
Yeah, I think
really get a full experience of the food.
Yeah, and I think, Emily, hold on one second. I think just so to clarify, because what I was getting at, sorry if I was a little vague, is that the whole idea is it's not like there's just like one food area. There's not like a food pavilion, right? You guys have areas all over the quarter scattered around where all the stages are. So my point is you can basically encounter food and drink just about anywhere you go.
Yep, we got over 6 sites where we have Riverfront. We have about 5 sites that has food enclosed in the gates. And yeah, you can go to each of the sites and find some really good options.
Yep. Cool. Emily, what were you going to say? Sorry.
I think you all covered it. I was just going to say, if you're familiar with the city and the neighborhood, the major food hubs where Kenneth has located the food and beverage, they're going to be at Spanish Plaza. So that's right near where the Jack Daniel's stage. They're going to be at Aquarium Plaza, where the Posse Gen solar DJ stage is. Kohlmeyer Lawn, which is right outside of the aquarium, has some incredible booths there. And all along Waldenburg Park, you know, between the Abita Beer stage and the Tropical Isle stage, you'll find some really amazing food booths. And then we have 3 other hubs in the Jack's Brewery parking lot, where the Chevron stage is. We've got the NOLA.com stage at Jackson Square. And then finally, Friday through Sunday, you can go to the New Orleans Jazz Museum at the Mint. And that's going to bring a whole other offering. And really, you know, that's 69 restaurants, chefs, and caterers represented, you know, some of which you can see here in the French Quarter throughout the year, but a lot of which come from all over the city, as you mentioned, outside of the French Quarter and throughout Louisiana.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, so Kenneth, come hungry for sure.
What's that, Kenneth? What was that? What'd you say? Sorry.
I said, so make sure folks come hungry. I would say don't eat for at least a week before coming to the festival. One note I did want to make about Cold Myelon, that's where our culinary demo stage is as well.
So yeah, please tell us about that before we take a break. Go ahead, man.
Us on the riverfront. Yeah, the culinary demo stage is something we're really excited about. It operates every day, all 4 days, from 12 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. So you'll get to see about six chefs a day. And it's also hosted by Chef Kevin Belden, WWL TV. Oh, yeah. We're really excited about it. So come on out. Some of the folks that will be participating on the culinary stage, I mentioned before, we have like Loretta's and Paco Taco, Mrs. Wheat Pies, Song Chong, Southern's, Adis Nola, Miss River. So we're really excited about the culinary stage that's presented by Kingfish and Kingfish Kitchen and Cocktails.
Awesome.
And, you know, New Orleans, like we've got, we love to eat here. And I think chefs and restaurants have definite local celebrity status. So I think that's something that we wanted to be able to bring to the festival attendees more. So you can hear about what they're serving at festival. You can check it out, learn about the recipes, but also learn about, you know, what has been their culinary journey, you know, where their brick and mortar restaurants, if they have them, a little bit more about sort of their origin story and, you know, what's going on behind the food as well.
That's one of the best parts, Emily, about the festival, I think, is because so often in the food booths are the chefs, the owners, you know, key people from the venue, from the hospitality venue there. And I've met a lot of great, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I've met quite a few people there that have ended up down the road on this program. And so that's one of the best parts about it is just the interaction that you get. And I should clarify too, because are we cashless or are we, or you can take
cash? We will accept credit cards or cash, okay. However you know, want to pay or want to make it as easy as possible.
Got it. Very good. I like that. Well, let's do this. Let's take a brief break, y'all. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the music. We're going to talk about the economic impact of the festival. Like we got to talk about the beverages a little bit too, Kenneth, because we didn't quite get there yet. We'll hone in on that. And a couple other things connect to the French Quarter Fest, the 41st festival during the 40th anniversary. If we didn't understand that part, just listen to the top of the segment. We did the math for you. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining me, friends. Happy to have you here. Happy to be bringing you our X number in a row, not in a row, but X number of French Quarter Fest preview shows. I probably should have gone back and done the math to know. A math challenge today, y'all. We were talking about this earlier, trying to figure out the number of festivals that we're at. But we've done a few shows previewing the French Quarter Festival and very happy to be doing it again. Happy to be chatting with my friends Emily and Kenneth from said French Quarter Festival. And actually, Kenneth, before we took a break, I just wanted to kind of put a bow on some of the culinary programming stuff, talking about the beverage program. So we talked a lot about the food program, but how's the beverage program working? Because obviously we don't know, French Quarter Festival could be cool, could be hot, could be in between. So getting something to drink is going to be key here.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, shout out to our sponsors, Pepsi, Brown-Forman, and Abita. Without them, you know, we wouldn't have the wonderful choices that we have. But
I like how you covered your bases there, man. Sorry, real quick.
You got to show them some love because they show us so much love. But yeah, once again, we're back with a great lineup from Brown-Forman that features Jack Daniels, El Jimador Tequila, Finlandia Vodka, the Diplomatico Rum, and Forged Gin. Some of the cocktails that I'm really excited about, especially cocktails, are the Lynchburg Lemonade that's made with like Jack Daniel's honey and lemonade, or you can just get it with regular Jack Daniel's and lemonade. And then we have an E-Fit cocktail that's really, really cool. It's called a Bubbly Sea Breeze. So we just have a new exciting twist. We add a Pepsi Bubbly Spritzer basically to the Sea Breeze. Makes for a nice cold cocktail. Some other cool friendly treat options is outside of our beverage program. Obviously, WWOZ Mango Freeze returns. Everybody loves the really good Mango Freeze. Plum Street Snowballs also is returning. And then this year we have Lizzie's Catering, who's doing old-fashioned New Orleans Huckabucks that'll be on the Aquarium Plaza. So plenty to try. If you wanted to have something non-alcoholic that wasn't carbonated, we do have sweet and unsweet tea. And we also have iced coffee. So, you know, it's plenty of options for everybody of all ages and all sizes.
Awesome. And Kenneth, so just so people are clear, how, like, in all these food areas that we talked about, you have beverage booths kind of intermixed in there, right?
Yep. So every area, every major site has a food and beverage component. If there's food, there's beverage, guaranteed.
I like that. That sounds really good, especially the frozen beverage one. That makes me happy. Emily, do me a favor. So we've talked a lot about the food and drink program, which is outstanding and continues to be outstanding. And you mentioned all the great work that Kenneth is doing on that front. It is a music festival, I believe. And, so this is, and you corrected me on this too, because thank you for doing this during the break. It's not really necessarily the official theme, but one of the emphases, I'll say, during the festival this year is on living legends, and pretty easy to figure out why here in New Orleans, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many here in New Orleans, and we are just super grateful to have them grace our stages. So, you know, this will be our 41st annual French Quarter Festival, and some of those musicians have helped carry us along the way and have made French Quarter Festival what it is today, and really have shaped, you know, New Orleans' recent, you know, musical culture. So, we're thrilled to have Miss Irma Thomas playing again this year. But some of our living legends, like Ivan Neville, that's actually a festival debut. So
I had no idea. Okay.
We've made it this far. And he hasn't necessarily played in the festival yet. So every time we think we've covered all of our bases, we realize, you know, there's such a wealth of talent here. There's plenty to draw from. So, you know, we're just very excited to have some of the folks that we look forward to seeing every year and that have become traditions on some of the stages, like John Boutte. And then at the same time, we really try to balance, you know, identifying rising talent and providing a platform for some of New Orleans' younger musicians. So you can go to the Ernie's Schoolhouse stage, which is actually going to be right in front of the aquarium this year. And that stage is going to feature middle school and high school talent from the New Orleans area on Saturday and Sunday, which I love.
Emily, real quick, because you guys have done that before, correct?
Yeah, we've done it for a few years. That stage had been on Royal Street, and we're just moving it and hoping to bring a larger audience to that stage this year in front of the aquarium. So, you know, there's lots of opportunity to see, you know, young musicians. Actually, Loyola is one of our stage sponsors. You can go to the Loyola Esplanade in the Shade stage down at the New Orleans Jazz Museum. And that stage is really eclectic. It's going to feature, you know, some incredible professional New Orleans musicians, as well as some student ensemble bands playing from Loyola. So we're really excited to honor the great legends that continue to grace our stages, and our entertainment committee works really hard to make sure that we're also providing a showcase for up-and-coming musicians. I think we have more debuts this year than we have ever had. It's over 70 or something like that. And part of that is because we're introducing the DJ stage, and that's a genre that we've never explored before. So there's lots of debuts on that stage for sure, but also spread out throughout the festival and the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's also one of the great parts about this to me too, is that you mentioned this, Emily, that there's 22 stages, but I think what maybe for listeners who don't know, and if you don't know the layout of the neighborhood or kind of get what we're talking about, you got big stages on the river and other places, and then you have little stages, so stages of all shapes and sizes with different genres kind of peppered throughout. So you can go watch, I mean, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, I mean this in a very honorable way. You can watch the old timers go play some Sweet Dixieland over on a little stage on Royal, and then you can go catch Irma Thomas. I'm assuming she's going to be on the river, and it's sort of everything in between. And that's the beauty of this, is that you can just sort of wander around. You got your your cubes or your grid there that we can go check out. But one of my favorite things to do is not plan too much, because I like to stumble around. You mentioned all these debuts. I go see the people I know that I want to go see when I can, but half the time I get waylaid because I actually, somebody catches my ear. And that's one of the great things about this too.
Yeah, right on. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think, yes, definitely go see your favorites, make a point of it, but also plan for some unscheduled time just to explore. I mean, you're really here in the French Quarter, which is a historic, beautiful neighborhood, unlike anywhere else in the world. And you've got, you know, the smaller stages sprinkled throughout Royal Street. We're going to be actually at the BK House for the first time. So you can go see traditional jazz in the courtyard or the garden at the BK House, and really take in that beautiful historic architecture with some incredible music. And I always use Mardi Gras as an analogy for French Quarter Festival. If you've been to Mardi Gras, but you haven't been to French Quarter Festival, there are so many different ways. It's not one experience. There's right. a myriad different experiences and opportunities to sort of take in and celebrate that holiday, whether you love the big parades, the night parades on St. Charles Avenue, or you like to check out, you know, the Barkus in the French Quarter, or, you know, the Skull and Bones in the Treme. So, you know, I think French Quarter Festival is similar. There's a lot of different musical genres represented, and the venues in which you can experience that music are really varied as well, depending on, you know, what your jam is. If you want to be on the riverfront and with some of the larger crowds and the big, you know, funk bands, or if you would prefer, you know, we've got some people who spend all day in Jackson Square or down at some of the French Market stages because they just love the traditional jazz and the dance lessons that they host.
Yeah, and actually, you know, so that's some really cool stuff too, because there's all kinds of things that you all have going on. Kenneth mentioned the culinary stage. There's dance lessons, right? I mean, there's all kinds of really neat things that you can kind of find your way into. And I think, you know, the take-home lesson here, maybe, at least for me, everybody's different. You do what you want, do what you wanna, as we say here in New Orleans. But don't overplan. I mean, don't overplan, because you might miss out on something that you would have no idea you're missing out on.
It's very low pressure. There's no tickets. There is no entrance fee. You can come and go as it works for you. And I think that's one of the greatest things about it is just come and explore.
That's great. Let me ask you this one about one stage. Do we still have the international stage going on?
We do not have the international
stage. Okay.
That was something that sunsetted after COVID, actually. We do have a stage in Dutch Alley, and that features New Orleans, mostly traditional jazz bands.
Awesome, which is a great place to see the traditional jazz stuff. Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. COVID made a lot of things really tough for people, and it makes travel tough and all that kind of stuff. And thank you for highlighting the Esplanade and the Shade stage, because I mean, all the stages are great. Don't get me wrong, but that's one of my favorites, because that's usually where I end up on Sunday, kind of as I wind my festival down. And it's the perfect place to sit in the shade. And in my case, maybe sometimes just like lay on the grass, because I need to lay on the grass at that point. So it's a really cool, it's a really cool place to go. Let's do this. Let's talk a little bit, kind of about some of the, I don't want to say logistics per se, but let's talk about like the economic impact. You guys depend. I mean, one of the neatest things about this event that I love that I think we should give a shout out to is you guys have scores and scores and scores of volunteers and staff who make this happen. And I want to make sure we give a shout out to those folks, because I'm sure you'll agree, Emily, I'm probably putting words in your mouth here, but I mean, without the volunteers, you guys wouldn't pull this off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a full-time team of 8 people, which, you know, given remarkable. The scale of this event, is just remarkable. And they are super passionate and dedicated and work all year long to organize and make this happen. But during production times, we need to scale and we need to rely on, you know, seasonal crew members and festival crew members and volunteers to be an extension of our team. So we'll have, you know, over 1,000 volunteers out there, some of whom have been coming for over a decade. You know, again, they've made it a part of their annual celebration. We have volunteers that volunteer every day of festival. They like to be able to, you know, support what they love, but it also offers kind of a fun insider view of the event. You know, whether you're working in a merch booth or a beer booth or at the info booth, you get to know the people that you're working with. There's a lot of camaraderie. You go home with a very cool t-shirt that the festival provides. We provide some tickets for beverages and merch. And then you can enjoy the festival after your shift. So, you know, it's a great way for people to really get to be a part of the event as well.
Great. And you guys get a lot of really cool, I've had over the years had the pleasure of getting to know like a couple of your stage managers and stuff. And I'm sure that some of these folks are compensated, but some of these guys I've met, like they come in every year from out of town to run stages. And some of them have been doing it for years. And that's awesome.
Yeah, we got to get Eric B up here. I have lost track, but I think it's been something like 30 years that he has been managing the Tropical Isle stage. Yep. And, you know, he is a musician and has an incredible amount of experience in what he does in terms of making that stage run efficiently and smoothly. But he also advises us in terms of the curation of the music on the entertainment committee. So, it is a big festival family, and part of how we're able to do something at scale with such limited resources and such a small staff is the fact that we can rely on the dedication and the institutional knowledge of people that love the festival as much as we do and come back year over year. It certainly helps us to continue to keep the pace and grow the festival.
That's great. We'll make that happen, Emily, because I think we've talked about that for 2 or 3 years running that we need to have Eric on the show, and Eric's one of the guys I'm talking about. So yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Let's talk about, yeah, Kenneth, what were you gonna say? Sorry.
No, I was saying definitely need to have him on the show. There's so many folks that's been involved with the festival so long that's still there. I mean, not just stage managers, but so many suppliers. I know Bernard Productions is one. He's been around for forever. I got a note sent to me of basically an event runner show that was from 1986, typed on a typewriter, and Sherman Bernard was like he had a key part in like putting the show on that tips way back in 1986. So,
that's amazing.
So just the festival community in New Orleans.
And the loyalty that you guys have built as an organization. And Kenneth, I'm assuming the same has gone for restaurants as well, right? I mean, I know we're talking about a bunch of new ones, but I know you've had people with you for years and years.
Yeah. I mean, we got two Jacks in the festival, the oldest restaurant in the French Quarter. I know they've been with us for a really long time. I wrote some other ones
Vance
down.
Vance Brokerson.
I'm sorry, y'all. Who? I'm sorry.
Vance Brokerson.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brokerson Sausage. He's been there forever. I mean, we have a bunch that's been going with us for a long time. You know, you mentioned Galatoire earlier, although they're not in the festival, but they were in the festival for a very, very long time. And I feel like if it wasn't for the pandemic, they'll still be in the festival. You know.
Yeah. Right.
Mrs. Wheat Pies.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There you go. You know.
Pat O's, Pat O'Brien.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome. I mean, it's such a great thing because you get new stuff, you get old stuff. It's great to connect with people that you kind of see, you know, sort of once a year often, right? Emily, tell us a little bit. I think this is really important too. Let's talk a little bit about the economic impact that the festival has on the city. We were talking about this off air that, you know, what we export in New Orleans is culture in a big way. And you guys are one of the greatest events to do that on the scale that you do that. I know that mission is not lost on you, but we depend on the hospitality industry, the music industry here in the city for our livelihood. And that you guys are standard bearers for what this means. And can you tell us, I mean, both about the responsibility, because I think it's a great responsibility. And then let's just talk dollars a little bit too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's baked into the purpose of why our organization exists. We're here to uplift and sustain New Orleans cultural community and the creators who make it. And so, you know, that's what we're thinking about every day. I think that's, you know, certainly through the pandemic, that responsibility was really magnified in terms of making sure that we stayed alive and remained able to produce this event as it was going to be safe and possible to do so, because so many people rely on the festival as an important part of their annual revenue cycle and their business. So, you know, on an annual basis, the festival supports over 2,000 jobs. So just hosting this festival is going to create or support 2,000 full-time or part-time jobs and drive $310 million of economic impact for the region. And of course, that has massive implications, not just for the businesses that directly participate in the festival, like all of the food vendors that Kenneth works with, but we've got sort of the broader hospitality industry. We know that the hotels and the restaurants that are located in the neighborhood, second to Mardi Gras French Quarter Festival, is their biggest weekend to generate income. So, you know, it's really important that, you know, we bring in visitors and locals to participate and to help sustain that. And then, you know, I think more broadly, there's a really important local and state taxes that generates, right, that become a part of the bigger picture. So I think, yes, we want it to be fun. We want it, you know, first and foremost, to be sort of a beautiful, safe and joyous celebration of the music we love and the food we love and people coming together and having a great time. But I think for our staff and the team of people who have to do hard work 12 months out of the year in order to stand up this fun party, it's that bigger picture in terms of serving the New Orleans creative economy that keeps us focused and going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll add too, if you don't mind, Emily, because, you know, you guys pay your musicians. And so you guys are employing musicians. And I remember seeing a number that I'm assuming is probably pretty consistent, at least now after we sort of recovered from COVID and whatnot from the pandemic, but like 1,700 musicians, right? Or something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. We're expecting, you know, over 300 acts, and that's 1,700 individual local musicians that are going to be playing at French Quarter Festival. And, you know, the economics of staying true to a mission of making sure that this is accessible for the people that live here and maintaining a no barrier event, which means there's no admissions. That's something that is, you know, a part of our DNA that we're committed to. But it definitely makes the economics of putting on an event at scale totally upside down. right. Any other festival, if you're going to Lollapalooza, you better believe, you know, there's going to be a pretty big entrance fee associated with that. And that is an important part of how the festival brings in security and sanitation and all the unsexy stuff, in addition to paying the musicians.
Permitting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we really have to do a ton of fundraising, in addition to, if you purchase, you know, any beverages here at festival that come from an official beverage booth, that's a really important way of how we're able to fund this massive event. But we also rely on our sponsors. I mean, that's over 50% of the income that we rely on in order to pay for this big party. So, you know, it is truly a massive collaboration to stand it up. And I think one of the things that we've been focused on for sure is our musicians and making sure that we are raising dollars. You know, our budget is not as big as I would like to,
right?
But, you know, we're raising $500,000 to support and pay for those performance fees every year. And we're making sure that, you know, we've got a healthy above union rate, standard, you know, individual musician rate. So that's something that, you know, we want to continue to push the envelope on.
Awesome. Thank you. And it's really important. I think I want people to understand very clearly what Emily just said is that, you know, get out there, buy merch, get out there, buy drinks at the beverage booths, you know, support the restaurants that are vending. I love the part how, you know, this is not something that you're trying to discourage people from going into the local hospitality spots. You're encouraging people to go into the local hospitality spots because it's just a win for everybody across the board. You guys are a 501c3, and that's a really important thing to point out here too. And before I ask the two of you to kind of run down the 411 on the festival and then let you get out of here, you guys do other stuff year round, and I want to make sure that we flag that to people's attention also. So unlike Bourbon Fest, which people have heard me talk a lot on this show, we're now not going to be one and done anymore either, rest assured. But you guys, there's no rest for the wicked for y'all.
No, sir. We are working 12 months out of the year. So, you know, we Our biggest event certainly is French Quarter Festival, which happens every year in early April. We also host Sachmo Summerfest. And, you know, in a city where probably one of the most legendary, iconic musicians of all time, certainly in U.S. history, you know, Louis Armstrong was born right here in New Orleans. We don't necessarily have a brick and mortar museum paying homage to him all year round, but we throw an annual birthday party around, you know, early August at the New Orleans Jazz Museum at the Mint. And that is a beautiful 2-day celebration, really paying homage to Louis Armstrong, both in terms of the music that he played, traditional jazz, and everything that was inspired thereafter. So it's a mix of, you know, contemporary jazz, brass, you know, funk. But we also bring in scholars from New Orleans and around the world that speak about the history and his legacy that he's left. So that's a really interesting one, because you can go and enjoy all of the exhibits at the Jazz Museum for free, and you can learn about jazz music and Louis Armstrong, as well as appreciate all the food and music that's happening outside. And then finally, we host Holidays New Orleans Style, and that's a collaboration with New Orleans & Company. French Quarter Festival hosts a concert series at the Cathedral, and this year we also expanded to Ashe Cultural Center. So throughout the month of December, you can come see some of your favorite New Orleans musicians. Again, these are free concerts, holiday concerts. And we brought back, not long after the organization was founded and we hosted our first French Quarter Festival, we brought back the Réveillon tradition, which was a tradition in the mid and late 1800s, Creole families celebrating around, you know, a really rich decadent meal around Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So restaurants across the city offer Réveillon menus, and that's something that Kenneth works on, not only curating those menus, whether it's Réveillon on the Rocks, which are, you know, celebratory fun drinks, or traditional Réveillon menus, which really stay pretty strictly focused on ingredients that were available locally at that time in which New Orleans families were celebrating Réveillon. And then we really promote and celebrate all the things that are happening in the city during that time. It used to be a very quiet time of year. And, you know, the holiday season from Thanksgiving Day till when we start carnival season on January 6th has turned into, you know, a very busy and fun time. So we try to showcase all the ways in which you can celebrate, including, you know, shopping deals, hotel deals, and special events throughout the city.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Kenneth, do me a favor real quick. Give us how many restaurants are we going to have out there, and give a shout out to your sponsors again on the beverage side and all that stuff, if you would.
Love that. We're going to have 69 food vendors total, most ever. So come hungry. Once again, shout out to Brown Foreman, the Beat, and Pepsi. One other thing I did want to mention that we didn't get a chance to talk about. I know Emily said, you know, we're really, really happy to be able to provide opportunity for a free festival and no barrier to entry. And if you're looking for an elevated experience, we have a VIP experience that will allow you to access 5 VIP lounges throughout the festival. It's called our Fest Family VIP program. And we also have a Fest Family Plus package that allows you to visit all the hospitality lounges and allows you front of stage access at all of our major stages all 4 days.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
You can literally pick. You can go to the Beta stage and pick one set that you're really looking forward to, or you can just go to the Beta stage and hang out all day and catch all the music with the VIP Plus experience.
Awesome. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. Emily, real quick, I mentioned this at the top of the show. I'll mention it again in the closing segment coming up here in a couple minutes. Give us how do we connect with French Quarter Festival if we want to attend? We kick off April 11th on Thursday with the second line, go through Sunday, April 14th, but website, Instagram, how do we show up?
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, go to FrenchQuarterFestival.org. You can see the full music schedule there. You can download our app, which has all of the culinary menus. It has maps. It has the merchandise. I mean, that's going to be your wayfinding friend when you're here at festival. And, you know, folks who are here can also pick up, you know, we partner with the Gambit and they distribute our official festival guide throughout the city and throughout the festival. If you prefer paper in your pocket, you know, and we've also, speaking of paper, made an effort to go green. And
oh, yeah, thank you.
We were talking about during the break. You know, we recognize that throwing a big party and bringing people together also has a tendency to create a lot of trash and a lot of waste. And we want to make sure to keep our sites clean and respect the neighborhood that we're operating in. So first and foremost, we're managing litter, but even more importantly, starting to minimize our environmental footprint. So all of those beverage cups are recyclable. All of the products that you are served at any food vendor booth are compostable. Any single-use product that you get at awesome. Festival is either recyclable or compostable. So don't throw it in the trash. Look for the right receptacle. The only thing that you should be throwing in the trash is something that you brought in from outside of Festival. Last year, we were able to achieve about 40% diversion rate in terms of making sure that that waste did not end up in landfills. Wow. And we're really hoping to break the 50% mark. So we're going to need everybody's help to make that possible. And I think if we can prove to be a good example, that's going to be a good thing, not only for French Quarter Festival, but for all of our local events that happen throughout the region.
Awesome. Thank you for bringing that up too, Emily. Really appreciate you both being here very much. I look forward to seeing you very shortly. When listeners are hearing this, we are on the doorstep of French Quarter Festival, friends. So thanks, you guys. Good luck with everything. And I guess I'll say it this way. I'll see you on the other side. How's that?
That sounds great. See you soon.
Thanks, Kenneth and Emily. I really appreciate it. Friends, a brief musical interlude, and I'll be back to close things out. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show this time around, friends. Very happy to bring you our annual French Quarter Festival preview. And once again, thanks to my friends over there at French Quarter Fest, Emily and Kenneth for joining me on the show, and my friend Morgan Valerie, who is their marketing director, who arranged this conversation. They had a lot on their plate when we were doing this, and so they took some time out of their busy schedules getting this fest going to chat with me, and yeah, greatly appreciated. Thanks to them. Looking forward to seeing them out there this week. Hopefully looking forward to seeing you out there this week. It's going to be a good time. Once again, runs from Thursday, April 11th, that's this Thursday, to Sunday, April 14th. All throughout the French Quarter. It is a free event to attend, but please do support the food vendors and the beverage vendors out there, because that's what helps keep the festival going. If you want more information, we did say this, but just go to FrenchQuarterFest.org. Once again, FrenchQuarterFest.org, and be sure to download the app. You know, you can get it on the App Store, the Apple App Store, and Android and Google Play, and it's really handy because it has like all the musicians, all the food, maps, all the other special events, shopping information, all kinds of cool stuff like that. And so it's just a really good all-in-one package that will allow you to navigate the festival. And I will reiterate the tip that we talked about: don't overplan. Please don't overplan. There's so much great music. It's one of my favorite things about this festival every year when it goes on is, yeah, there's people I want to go see and I go see them. But then I also listen and it's like, whoa, my ears will perk up because somebody really cool is playing that I'm maybe not familiar with or have never seen before. And, you know, you just stop and watch some of the set. And that is the way to go as far as I'm concerned, friends. But you do what you want to. That's how it works out there at French Quarter Fest. We're going to be back with some new shows fairly soon, friends. We're going to be talking to the folks at Tales of the Cocktail about some policy initiatives that they're working on and a whole bunch of other stuff we got slated for you. So be on the lookout for all that coming down the pike. So friends, remember to be kind to one another, use your turn signal, put your shopping cart up, and when you're supposed to, hit reply all. Until next time, cheers, y'all.